Hey, good morning, church. So welcome. So glad you're here this morning. Welcome our church online family. If you're in your living room, hello, good morning. We're so glad that you're here with us. We are in the Fremont Theater, but you are at home in your pajamas. So I hope you're enjoying your cup of coffee. We're excited today because we are online. We can still bring the gospel. I'm so thankful for technology. I'm so thankful that God gives us this ability to do church in such a way that we don't actually have to be in this building to have church. I hope you're having a great morning. We're going to jump into God's Word today, but before we do that, obviously, with everything going on in our world, we are going to pray today. You know, the President of the United States, he called for a National Day of Prayer today, and we are going to pray and believe that God is in control. We serve a big God. Can I get an amen? Yes, you can amen your computer screen or your phone. But we are believing God to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask, think, or imagine in this season. And so I want to begin by just saying that I love every single one of you. I'm so grateful and thankful to be your pastor. And I want to thank you just for being committed to church online for the next few weeks as we figure out what's happening with this coronavirus. So we're going to pray right now, and we're going to believe that God's going to meet us right where we are. So let's go ahead and let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you, God, that you are a God that hears our prayer. You're not a far-off God. You're a God that's with us. And this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would meet us in a new way this morning. For some of us, there's fear and anxiety and worry about what's going to happen, what's going to happen to our economy, what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to my health. And Lord, those are very real fears. But God, we know that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. So Lord, we're going to lean into love. Lord, we're going to lean into your power. We're going to lean into the fact that you've given us a sound mind to self-discipline, to not look at all the what-ifs, but to look at who you are. And I pray right now, God, that we would exchange our anxiety, our worry, that we'd cast that upon you, and Lord, that your peace that surpasses all understanding would cover our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I pray for our country, Lord. As we come together this morning, we pray, Lord, that your hand would be on our country and on our world, that those are affected by the coronavirus, that you'd meet them, you would heal our land, you would heal our world, and God, we believe that you can do it. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Well, as many of you know, thank you, Paulino. As many of you know, the heartbeat of our church is life groups. We believe in doing life together. And so for some of us, that is where we find ourselves the most connected. Sunday mornings are great. I love coming here in the Fremont. I love getting together, and I miss seeing all your faces. But I know, I'm so glad that when we started this church, our leaders and everyone decided, hey, let's be a church that's not just a weekend experience. Let's be a church that is more than that. And we always say it like this: rows are good, circles are better. I've been saying since we started life groups that you need to be involved in a circle that meets outside of Sunday. So what a great opportunity for us as a church to not just be a weekend experience, that we can continue to meet in homes and coffee shops and small gatherings, less than 250, and we can be together in community. So in many ways, active church is much better suited to handle this kind of storm with this outbreak, because we are a church of small groups, or we call them life groups. So if you're not in a life group, what a great chance for you to get connected. You can click on our website right after this. You can go onto the life group tab. You can find a group near you. And if there's not one, hey, we encourage you to start one in this season. Now, this last week, the dam kind of broke as it pertains to the coronavirus, and the world was flooded with frightening news. And the United States government declared a national emergency, and the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus an official global pandemic. And the dominoes began to fall. Concerts were canceled, sporting events, the NBA, the MLB, churches all across the nation, schools were closing. And during this crisis, this is kind of an unprecedented time in our lifetime, at least. And so every media report out there then started fanning the flames of fear. And it seemed that this became a global wildfire overnight. By the end of the week, there were examples of panic everywhere. I'm sure some of you right now are praying for you. If you don't have toilet paper, God's going to meet you where you're at. We'll figure this out together. We're praying. But there's a lot of panic in the world right now. And I want you to know that as your pastor, I understand your anxiety. I understand that you have real fear. And I understand that prayer is where we go first. It's not our last resort. So we're not praying because God, there's nothing else we can do, so all we can do is pray. No, we are believing that God is our present help in time of need. And so I want you to know, with God at the helm of this ship, of Active Church, our community, we're going to lead our families, we're going to lead you and your family calmly through this storm, that God is going to get us through this as a church community, and we're committed to leading well in this season. So today's message, I just want to simply remind you of some things that can calm your worries today, reduce some anxiety maybe for some of you, and hopefully relieve some of your fears as it relates to this coronavirus. So I was watching TV earlier this week, and I saw the lines forming at Walmart and Target, and people are literally running to get stuff off the shelves, and there's panic. And I thought of Psalm 23. I want to read to you out of Psalm 23, verses 1 and 4. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want." In other words, God will take care of my needs if I trust him, okay? "And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Now, we know already in advance that this virus won't last forever, okay? So it's a valley that we're going through. We're going to walk through this together. This week I read some information about, you know, history of pandemics, the history of plagues, and here's what I found out, that this has been going on for a long time, and guess what? Society, the world has pushed through. God has continued to move our society forward, even in the midst of what seems to be a global pandemic. So what happens is these things spike quickly, and like a bell curve, they'll peak, and then they'll come back down. So you've probably already seen this week, they're trying to figure out how they can maybe slow that spike so we don't overrun the hospitals, and we're going to get through this. But here's what I want you to know. There's going to be a lot of things changing over the next few weeks and months. We're going to see people reacting differently, and this is real. We have to look at the facts. There's going to be common step things that we have to abide by to reduce and prevent the number of new infections. These are common sense things like quarantining those who have the virus. It's a good idea, right? Such things as self-quarantine that might have it, protecting the most vulnerable by isolating them from contact, washing your hands, make sure you wash your hands for 20 seconds, things like that, which are really good ideas, good suggestions. Now, in the days to come, though, in the weeks ahead, there's going to be other actions that we'll need to take together. For instance, with schools out, how can we serve our kiddos? What are some things that we could do as a church? With work slowing down, how can we help each other deal with the economic situations that are going to happen from all these things that are going on? Listen, together, we're going to figure this out as a church. Together, we're going to move forward and be the church and help other people in our community and be the church to people outside of Sunday mornings. This is where the church should shine. I'm telling you, every single time there's opposition, every single time there's a crisis, here's what happens. God will raise up people to do the extraordinary, and God will get the glory, and the church will continue to move. Amen? So I'm confident that Active Church will be here to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this season. But today, I just want to really quickly, in this brief message this morning as you're enjoying your coffee in your pajamas, I want you to lean in. I want you to grab your Bible if you have one. Open the YouVersion Bible app, whatever you got, and I want you to look at some scripture with me because today I want to focus on strengthening your confidence. I really want to help you replace fear with facts and faith. Because fear is not of God, it's of the enemy, but facts are real, and so is faith. So we want to replace fear with facts and faith. 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about how to handle unexpected problems. Here's what he says. He says, "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in God's comfort." I want you to circle or underline a few things right there. If I could just have you circle a couple phrases. There's three phrases that would be awesome for you to kind of take note of. Our hope is firm, and because we know. Our hope is firm because we know. Now, here's the point. What we know gets us through. So there's a lot of things we don't know right now, right? There's a lot of questions out there, and I'd be a fool to tell you I know everything going on. I don't. We don't. But what we do know gets us through. So what I want to do in this message is remind you of some things that you do know. That we serve a God that's never changing. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Whatever's happening in our world, God is not alarmed. He's not up there with the angels having a meeting, trying to figure out what to do on the earth. God is not surprised. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere, and he's with you as I speak. So I want to encourage you to lean in and don't fear. Replace it with facts and faith. So here's some things to remember. Number one, if you're taking notes, if you don't take notes, write this down, okay? Remember, not everything I hear is true. Not everything I hear is true. Proverbs 14:15, I love it in the message. It says like this: "The gullible believe anything they're told, but the prudent sift and weigh every word." The gullible believe anything they're told. I love gullible people, though. I used to mess with my cousins. I one time told my wife's, my wife's niece. So I guess my niece. I once told her that we were driving by this big factory and there's all these plumes of like smoke coming out. And I said, "That's where they make clouds, Tyler." I said, that's where they make clouds. She's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's the cloud factory. We should go check it out." She said, "That'd be awesome." And then, of course, I told her, "No, I'm just joking." But she believed me. I like gullible people. But listen, in this season, don't be gullible. There's going to be people trying to sell people stuff like, "This is the coronavirus cure. Buy this for $19.99. Don't do it. Don't listen to everything you see or everything you hear on the internet. Not everything is true. Not everyone who's on TV or social media is going to speak truth. Many people are going to use this crisis for political gain. They're going to say, "Hey, look, economy, look." And they're going to try to spin this so they can get their own agenda across. Many people use this for financial gain. They're going to try to price gouge things. Proverbs 13:16 says, "The prudent man always acts out of knowledge." Knowledge. Not fear, not emotions, but the prudent act out of what's true, out of knowledge. The Bible repeatedly says that, especially in crisis, that you should always base your decisions out of in actions out of the statistics and facts, not fakes, not fake news, not faulty stats, but base it off of facts. So let me show you some verses on this. I got a bunch out of Proverbs because Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and we need wisdom right now, church. So Proverbs 18:13 says it like this: "What a shame. Yes, it is folly to decide before knowing the facts." This is the Bible. So don't make decisions until you know what's true. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A foolish person doesn't care about the facts. All he wants to do is yell." You ever try to have a logical conversation with someone that doesn't care about facts? That's a difficult task. Some people are going to tell you what they want to believe in this season, and they're going to argue with you. Let's not be people like that. Let's just look at the facts and let our faith inform our feelings. Is that good? Okay, Proverbs 14:8 says this: the wise man looks ahead. The foolish person attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. So, in other words, you have to look at the facts. There's some real things happening in our country right now, in our world. If we just put our heads in the sand and act like nothing's happening, and we're saying, well, I'm being a person of faith, I don't think that's very wise. On the same side, if we go and run out and buy every single roll of toilet paper and start prepping for World War III, and you know, we're saying, yeah, it's all going down, I think we're going to be acting just as foolish. I think we need to look at the facts, not ignore them, but be prepared and be wise. Can I get an amen, church? All right. Proverbs 23:23. Got a lot of verses. You can go back and read these. Get the facts at any price and hold tightly to good sense. Let's be people of good sense in this season. So that's the first thing. Remember, not everything is true that you hear. Second, remember, not everyone is at equal risk. With coronavirus happening, not everyone is at equal risk. The facts are clear, and I want to give you some facts because we're talking about facts. The most vulnerable people in our world right now are those over 60 years old with some kind of pre-existing condition. So like maybe diabetes, heart disease, cancer, upper respiratory system. So these are people we need to be careful about protecting. So if you're in that category, our church wants to help protect you in the days to come. Later on, I'll share a couple ways that we can actually help if there's people that need help, and we're going to take the proper precautions to do that, and we want to help you, so we're going to give you some instructions at the end to let you know how you can get some help. The coronavirus is not the seasonal flu. So this is all facts. Most say it's 10 times more deadly than typical flu. It's also not a novel virus, which means that we have no prior immunity or vaccination for it. So that means the two things that normally slow down a viral infection are not available with the coronavirus. So this is just the reality that we live in, church. So we have to be wise. So number three, remember this. This too shall pass. I'll say it again. Remember this. This will pass. We're meeting online today in the next couple weeks. We'll be online until further notice. This will pass. We're not going to be an only online church, but for now, that's what we're doing. What about your life? What are the things that you're worried about? Maybe you're thinking about your business, your small business. Maybe you're thinking about your kids and how am I going to go to work with my kids? All these things are going to cause anxiety. Here's what you do. When anxiety happens, here's what I do. I was telling our team this morning, what we do when anxiety hits is we go to the Word of God, and then we pray. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. So here's a little word to the wise. Tonight, when you're thinking about all the things you got going on, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't sleep. Here's what you're going to do. I want you to get up. I want you to go find a comfy chair and go meet with God. And here's what I want you to do. God, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about this. Give him all your anxiety, and then here's what you do. God, I need you to take this. Your word tells me to cast it before you. So now I'm going to bed in Jesus' name. Amen. That's your homework tonight. Cast all your anxiety upon him. And remember, this will pass. 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, don't be surprised. Everyone say surprised. Don't be surprised or shocked when you go through painful trials and tests in life. What's he saying? There's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. But this too shall pass. Number four, remember to focus on what's unchanging. It's easy to focus on what we can't control, isn't it? It's easy to focus on people's behavior. Last I checked, I can't control anybody else except for the guy in the mirror. So it's easy to focus on all the things that we can't control, but here's what I want us to do. Focus on what's unchanging. Here's the good news. If you're a Christian, now's the time to be a person of faith and to show the world that our God, that we built our life on solid ground. It is not on shaky ground. It is not on uncertain ground. We have built our lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and he is the most stable place we can be in times of uncertainty. Can I get an amen, church? Now, here's what I want you to do. Number one, God sees, know this, God sees everything I'm going through. That's always going to be true. Number two, God cares about everything I'm going through. You need to tell yourself that. God cares about what I'm going through. If you're worried about bills or how you can pay rent or how you can pay your mortgage or how you're going to feed your kid, whatever it is, how am I going to get toilet paper? God cares about that too. Number three, God has the power to answer prayer. Thank God that we don't serve a weak God. Some of us need to remember our God, he can breathe stars into existence. He can help your situation. Don't go to God and say, well, if you can, God, maybe. No, you declare that, God, you are bigger than this coronavirus, and I'm coming before you because you're my dad, and I need you right now. And declare that God is powerful in your situation. Amen? God always acts out of his goodness towards me. These are declarations you need to write down. God's plan is always better than my plan. God will never stop loving me. I think so oftentimes we think about, we're in a series called Mastermind, which we're kind of taking a bit of a pause today. But we think about our thoughts, and I want you to think about your thoughts this week. Think about what you're thinking about and begin to declare God's truth over your situation. Number five, remember no matter what I go through, God will go through it with me. You know, it's in the seasons where I've had some painful seasons. My wife and I, we walked through loss together, loss of a child. I know some of you have been through maybe loss of a loved one recently, maybe a divorce, maybe you had a relationship issue that went awry, maybe there was a loss of a job, maybe a medical condition, maybe you know people right now across the world that are suffering and you know personally what they're going through. I want to encourage you. God is going to go through this with you. You don't have to be afraid. Remember, no matter what you go through, God will go through it with you. Every stage, God is with you. I want you to look at the prophet Isaiah and what he says in Isaiah 43. When you go through deep waters, say deep waters. That's right. You can say it. You can say it as loud as you want in your living room. Deep waters. When you're going through the times, it seems like I can't get my head above this. I know there's been seasons like that in the past. There's seasons like that right now. But he says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you. This is a season where we need to cling to God's truth. If you have a Bible, and you need to read your Bible in this season. It's filled with God's truth. If you realize that you're not alone in the season, that God's going to go with you, your mind will be fixed and anchored to the right thing. You'll frame your situation as it relates to where God's saying you're supposed to go. You'll be able to look at this situation through the frame of, man, God's with me in this. Number six, remember, this is not the end of the story. This isn't how our story ends. It's not like, oh, coronavirus. All right, guys, it was nice knowing you. Nope, this is not the end of the story. As a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says, we often suffer, but we're never crushed. What's he saying? He's saying, we go through stuff all the time, but it doesn't crush our spirit. It might impact the things that we can see, but we are not crushed. Like our inner man gets stronger and stronger. He says, we're never crushed, even when we don't know what to do. You ever asked that? Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, I don't know what to do. You're in good company. Paul was saying, God, we don't know what to do sometimes. Some of you guys are going to like look at your husband or spouse and go, see, it's okay. God knows that we don't know what to do, and it's okay because here's what happens. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. We never give up. We never give up. Some of you guys are going, I guess I got to give up. No. If you're a believer and you have a pulse, we never give up, ever, period. He says, in times of trouble, God is with us. And when we get knocked down, when we're knocked down, we get up again. Some of you guys are singing that song, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Like God's saying, get back up. It's time to worship me. It's time to say, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing no matter what, because I know when I get knocked down, my God gives me the strength to get back up. How many of you believe that? I do. I know some of you guys are like, at home, you're saying, yes, yes, Lord. You know, every one of us is going to have to go through this together. And I want to encourage you, this is not the end of the story. You got to live with hope. And in order to live with hope in the middle of pain, you have to change your focus. If you shift your perspective to God, you'll start living in the light of eternity. You know, every one of us is going to go through seasons. After this, we get through this, there's going to be something else. But I want to encourage you, live in light of eternity. Don't live for the now. Don't live for only what you can see. Remember this verse in Revelation 21:4. It says, then God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There's a place called heaven, and I want to really speak into the camera right now. There is a place called heaven that you're designed for. Did you know that? There's a perfect place called heaven that when we get there, there's no more pain. There's no more cancer. There's no more coronavirus. There's no more sickness. There's no more disease. There's no more pain. Every single thing of this earth will be gone, and we'll be in the presence of God. And in that moment, the Bible declares that he'll wipe away every tear. There's no more death. There's no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things will just pass away. I want to give you hope this morning out of the Word of God. That if you feel like, man, it's not supposed to be like this. You're right, it's not. Because you were not designed for this place. You were designed to be with God. So we can't get too comfortable here. We got to know that, man, this will pass and that God is with us, but we're not designed for this place forever, that we're designed to be with Jesus, that he goes to prepare a place for us with his Father. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and he goes to prepare a place for you. And remember this, lastly, that God wants to use me to help others. See, we're going to start probably some new ministries out of this season. There's going to be more small groups, more life groups, but God wants you to know that he wants to use you to help people in this season. So stay encouraged. Our whole vision for our church, for Active Church, is we want to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose. Why? So they can make a difference. Some of you right now, God is already speaking to you like, hey, I wonder if I can help out here. I wonder if they need help here. That's because you're wired to make a difference, church. If you're not in a life group, get in a life group. You can email us at groups@myactivechurch.org, and you can be a part of life, doing life with people right now in this season. While we're not meeting on Sundays, you can be meeting in a small group somewhere near you, and if there's not one near you, you can start a group. I just believe that God is going to help us make a difference in this season, unlike any other season. We look at opposition, we say, you know what, there's something happening here. I don't know what's going to happen. Guess what? God sees opportunity when you see opposition. I want you to think about how you can begin making a difference in your community in this season. And you can start by getting a part of a life group and doing life with other people. I'm going to end with a couple things. Here's what I promise to you as your pastor in this season, as a church family. I promise you that we're not going to be alone, that you're not going to go this alone. We're going to face this trial together. Together as a church. We're going to continue to communicate via social media, email. We'll have all the announcements to let you know what's going on. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at My Active Church, on Facebook. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel, all those things. But we want to let you know that you're not going to be alone in this. We will do this together. Number two, I promise that we will keep you spiritually healthy. So get into a life group and meet with your group each week. We're going to continue to teach and preach the gospel and preach the good news and share with you on ways to grow and identify your next step. But you got to get into a group. We want to keep you spiritually healthy in this season. Three, I promise that we will serve you if you get sick. That's right. We're going to figure it out. You're like, what if I get sick? What if I need help? We're going to help you. We got a big church, a lot of people. We're going to mobilize people. We're going to mobilize the church to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this time. So if you get sick, we're going to figure out how we can help you. Why? Because we love you. And God's got a plan, and he wants to use us as a part of that plan. Next is, I promise that we'll continue to offer worship experiences online. And when we get to go back to having a worship gathering, a corporate gathering together physically, we'll do that. But until then, I promise you, every Sunday, you're going to have church. You're going to have worship. You're going to have the word. We're going to get together, and we're going to believe that God is going to continue to meet with us. No matter if we're online or in church together, we're going to have church, and we're going to promise to make sure that that continues to happen, thanks to our team. And I'm so excited. I want you to know right now, there's a group of, I want you guys to make some noise for our team. Come on, guys, make some noise for yourself. I'm not preaching to an empty auditorium. I got my team here, and they are second to none. So I thank God for an amazing production and worship team, and we're committed to bringing you church online every single weekend. And finally, I promise that we will help you help others in this season. What do I mean by that? We want you to continue to share the good news. People need hope right now more than ever. Our neighbors, your neighbors need hope. Why don't you go maybe ask someone down the street, go and knock on the door. Just ask them, hey, do you need anything? Be the hands and feet of Jesus in this season. Let's be about our Father's business. John 13:35 says, your love for each other will show the world that you are my disciples. Let's be the hands and feet to Jesus, to one another, and to a world that so desperately needs hope in this season. I do want to promise you those things, but here's what I need from you. There's a couple things, church, that I'm going to ask you as your pastor to lean into over this next couple weeks. First is this. I need your emergency contact information. I know you give it out to your doctor, you give it out to people, you know, who do you call if something happens? We need you as your pastor. I need you to share that with us. If we don't have your contact info, I can't help you if you need help. So I need you to send that information, just your mobile phone and your email. Email us at info@myactivechurch.org, because we want to make sure we have your contact info updated. If we already have it, great, but if we don't have it, we can't help you if something happens. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, I need you to sign up for online giving so we can keep helping people in our community, so we can keep giving hope to people that need hope. You can visit myactivechurch.org/give and participate in giving so we can continue to make the message of Jesus known throughout all of our communities. Many of you guys have been learning about Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University classes. Now I need you to get practical and start using that to help fund the vision of the church so we can keep moving forward. And finally, I want you to meet with a life group. Stay connected to community. Don't pull away from everyone. We know that we got to be wise, but we don't want to act in fear. Please do me a favor. If you're not connected to a life group, pray about it and click on the life groups tab right after this and find a group that meets near you. And we believe that God is going to continue to have his hand over our church in this season. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be leading your church, to be with my fellow brothers and sisters, to come together to say, we need you, God. We want to be your hands and your feet, but Lord, we need to know right now that there's some promises in your word that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. So God, we cling to your truth this morning, and we believe that you're already moving on our behalf. You're already moving in our country. You're already showing up in mighty ways. Would you be God and do what only you can do and heal our lands, Lord? We call on the name of Jesus Christ, and we believe that you can do it because you're a big God. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today that's losing hope. If you're watching online and you say, I don't know what to do, I want to encourage you, put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ. He's the author and perfecter of your faith, and he can do all things. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we believe, God, that you're in control. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. I love you, and we'll see you next week. Same time, same place.